Lord, we want to just come before you and thank you that you provided for us the richness of the Word of God to look at, to study, to discover who you are and learn so much about ourselves in relation to you. And God, I pray that as we start into this new study on the book of Revelation, that God, we would understand that one, it's not a scary book, and two, that you're a God of promise who's full of covenant and possibility, and you're real. So God, I pray for each of us that we would hear what you're saying to us this morning, that there would be just a broadening of our heart, that we would fall in love with you all over again, and that we would be reminded of how much you love us. So God, be with us as we look at the Word of God today. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, if you have your Bibles, you can open up to Revelation chapter 1. That is where we will be studying. I'm going to be speaking with the thing in my mouth the whole time, so I apologize if that annoys you, because I'm one of those guys who noises bug me, so if I hear something clicking in someone's teeth, it makes me nuts. So deal with it. That's all I can say. So Revelation chapter 1. Now, Revelation is an interesting book, and you know why it's so interesting? Because it's hard to understand. How many of you guys have ever read the book of Revelation? You read it and you're like, what the bowls of wrath and lampstands and seals and what the heck is this all about? You know, the truth is you're getting a picture of what John was receiving from the Holy Spirit. And what you're getting is this. You're getting a picture of heaven, but he's seeing it where? On earth. So it's hard to understand, isn't it? Like some of the things you look at and you just go, huh? Well, hopefully I'm going to bring a little understanding. So here's the first thing you've got to know about this book. The first thing you got to know. Say, Pastor, this is the first thing I got to know. Is it's a general epistle to the church to encourage them. Okay, so that means it was written for that time period, to encourage believers in Christ. So don't lose your brain on it, because listen, I grew up in the church movement when eschatology was a big deal. You guys know what eschatology means? Study of end times events. You guys remember the, like, Apocalypse, Apocalypto, all the weird movies? You know, everybody's, listen, most of you guys like those sci-fi movies, like the end of the world stuff. Yeah. How many of you guys like zombie movies? Help me out. That's just the weirdest thing ever. Like, some of you are like, I like them though, Pastor. Yeah, I know my wife loves Walking Dead. I think it's the weirdest thing. She turns it on, I leave the room. I just think, don't find it enjoyable at all. How do you fall in love while you're smashing people's heads? It just doesn't make sense to me. So listen, it was written as a general letter. In other words, just like any other book in the Bible, it was written to encourage you in your faith. That's the first thing to understand. The next thing is this, is it was written to all generations. In other words, it's going to do this. It's going to go backwards into the Old Testament. It cites the Old Testament extensively, Daniel and Isaiah and Ezekiel and some of the minor prophets. There's going to be lots of us going back and forth. It also was talking to them in that present moment, and it's talking to who? Us. See, it was a past tense, a present tense, and it's a future tense book. So some of the things, listen, we're going to hit points in this study where I'm going to say this to you. This is what I think. This is what theologians think. But the truth is, none of us know. Because it's actually God's holy. It doesn't mean it's not understandable, but it does mean this. That some of it is futuristic. Some of it is heavenly. Some of it are things that are not natural, and they're not easy to embrace, but the principles within it are easy to embrace. And that's what I'm going to go after as we study this. And listen, it was written, the third thing is this, it's written with apocalyptic implications. You're like, what? That sounds so technical. It means that it's talking about the end of the world. How many of you guys know that when Jesus came the first time, he came as what? A savior, right? When he comes the second time, how is he coming? As a judge. Now, why? Well, there it goes, Pastor. God is going to judge everybody. You know how many times I've heard people say stuff like, yeah, God's all about wrath and fire and brimstone. No. Jesus was the antithesis of that. Grace and mercy, and you didn't do anything to deserve it. Somebody say amen. Okay, now, because he did that, he says, now I offer you love and grace. And you've got to embrace my love and grace. But if you choose not to, as a God of justice, say, God is a God of justice, that means he's got to judge things. Otherwise, justice doesn't exist. So watch, let me paint the picture for you. Let's say somebody comes and steals your car. How many of you guys have a car? How many of you guys ever had a car stolen? Multiple times. Is this lame or what? You come out and you're like, it was right there. Now all I got is the broken window. You know, that's it. And your car gets stolen. And then they catch the person. Now, if they caught the person, you went, fine, let's go ahead. We go to court. And the judge is like, yes, you're guilty of stealing the car. We caught you with it. But you can leave now. How would all of you think about that? What about my broken window? And he stole the tires and the stereo, and I didn't get it back the way he took it. I want all of that back. Would you think that's unjust? Yeah. So listen, if God doesn't judge sin, then he would be an unjust God, and God says he's a just God. You guys all understand this?
Yes.
See, this is important. So when you talk about the end of the world, God is coming back as a what? A judge, as a king to establish his kingdom. New heaven, new earth. Listen, when you read this book, you got to get this picture that it's weird. Say, it's weird, Pastor. I've read it before. It didn't make any sense. It's a weird book. It's old. It's new. It's got pictures of heaven. It's got pictures of hell. It's got pictures of people. There's angels all over the place. How many of you guys entertain angels all the time? Actually, the Bible says you do. You just don't know it. It's true. But the reality is this. There's all these pictures in this book that are difficult to understand. And John, as a human, is explaining a picture that God is giving to him to the best of his ability.
Wow.
And he's trying to explain it so that we can grab a hold of it and grow in our faith. But watch, let me say something to you. Most of us don't like this as American Christians. There is a day coming where God will judge. Make no mistake about that. The judgment seat, the white throne judgment of God is in this book. And no one gets outside of judgment. Somebody say amen. No one. Listen, you're like, I'm a believer. I don't get judged. Yes, you do. The difference is you don't get judged with whether or not you believe or don't believe in Jesus. You get judged with what you did with that belief. So watch. Let me help you guys out. If you don't serve Jesus back for him rescuing your life from death, you're going to get into heaven with your backside smoking, okay? That's it. Everything you did is going to go up in flames, okay? Yeah, you're like, well, at least I get to go to heaven. Okay, well, you're going to be my servant boy when I get there. Okay, now I'm playing. I'm told that's a joke. It's a total joke. The reality is this, though. We were entrusted with the goodness of God on the earth to give it away to other people. And when we as Christians stand before God, he will, in fact, judge us for that. What did you do with your faith in my son? What did you do with it? You know, I'm going to take this moment to segue into something. Now, this person said this to me at the beginning of service, and I said, if it pops into my mind, I'm going to use it because I thought it was so profound. And actually, you might have to help me say it properly. That most all of us submit. You know, like you try to understand God. I'm elaborating on what she said to me. Like, in other words, there's God. He has a standard. Most of us want to honor him, right?
Yeah.
How many of you guys submit reluctantly, though? Let's just be honest. Like, I'm going to do it because you're God, but I don't really want to. Am I talking to anybody in the room? I am. Okay. Your pastor's hand is up, by the way. Okay, but what's the difference between submission and surrender? Oh, surrender's way, way deeper. Surrender is this. I'm going to bow all of my will and rights. I'm not going to have a voice in it. If God says do this, then I will do this. Yeah. You're going to see this in John's life in just a second. I'm going to show that to you. Because he went through just traumatic things to become the apostle that he is and the writer of the book of Revelation. So this book is just vast angels, demons, past, future, mercy, judgment, heaven, hell, judgment seats, and nothing other than the second coming of Christ. By the way, you realize that that is the difference between every other faith system and ours. We serve a God who said, I will rise from the dead, I will conquer death, and I'll ascend and I will come back. The only thing he hasn't done so far is what? Come back. He's coming back, though. You've got to make no mistake that we serve a God who is a God of promise. So some of you guys will remember when Elliot came. Elliot's from Christians United for Israel. He was the guy who led our trip when I was in Israel. And Elliot's an observing Jew. Elliot's not a Christian, okay? And we talked extensively. He was very, listen, one, the guy is brilliant. He's educated and he's very intelligent. And so we talked and we'd interact. Well, he came and he did a presentation on Sunday night and he was talking about like the state of Israel. And he was talking about, listen, we understand this as Jews, that when Israel recaptures Jerusalem in its entirety, I'm talking about the Temple Mount, which is now under Muslim control and whatnot. He said, when we build the temple, we will understand this, that Messiah has come. And I was sitting right there and I said, again. And he said, listen, he laughed. He goes, yes. He goes, and when he comes, we'll figure out which one of us is right. See, the truth is this. Jesus is going to return for his church. He is going to return. And that all comes in this book. Man, it's a powerful, it's an exciting book. You know, and I just, can I tell on myself? I've avoided teaching this book for years. You know why I've avoided it for years? Because it takes a lot of studying. Some of you guys study on your own, by the way. So I'm going to say stuff and you're going to come up to me after service. Well, what about? And I disagree with you. And I already know that's going to happen. And I'm going to say, take it up with Jesus. Leave me alone. No, I'm not going to say that. Listen, I just know this, that as we study to show ourselves approved, that there will be times where we might not agree on some of the positions. And that's okay. What we always will agree on is that Jesus is Lord. Amen. We'll never dispute that. And we'll never disagree on the primary tenets of faith. But like, we're going to talk about the millennial view. You're like, what's that? Don't worry. When we get there, you'll learn it. Is it a pre-tribulation rapture? Is it mid? Is it post? How does all that work together, Pastor? We're going to talk about all those things. So I hope that you're excited about it. And I hope more than anything this, that when you walk out of the room, you'll understand this. I'm called to live for Jesus. He bought me with the price. I'm called to live for him. That's going to be my goal in this. And I hope there's times we have fun. And I hope there's times I'm in your face. And I hope there's times it doesn't feel like a total Bible study, because that's not my intent. My intent is to encourage your heart to love God and to walk with him. So with that said, Revelation chapter 1. And I'm going to read a few verses to you. You're going to start unpacking probably just a handful of verses this morning. So Revelation chapter 1. Verse 1, it says, a revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his bondservants the things which must soon take place. And he said and communicated it by his angel and his bondservant John, who testified to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ, even to all that saw. Blessed is he who reads, and to those who hear the words of the prophecy and heed the things which are written in it. For the time is near. See, look, when you look at this book, it identifies John as the writer. But when you look at it, you've got to sometimes think a little bit beyond just the text that's sitting in front of you. Like, I want you to think like this. This book is written at about AD 90, AD 95. Jesus has probably been dead somewhere in the neighborhood of 60 years. John the Apostle is the writer. He states it of himself. This is not under question anywhere in anything scholarly. People don't wonder whether or not John wrote this book. That's not up for grabs. But John is probably about the same age as the timing. He was probably born somewhere around AD, AD 5, something like that. He was the guy who walked with Jesus really closely. He's one of the sons of thunder, the sons of Zebedee. You guys remember these guys? These are the guys who came up to Jesus. Mama shows up and says, can my boys have the seat on the left and right of you? I told this story a few weeks ago because they wanted positions of authority. At least Mama did anyways. But John, in his writing of the gospel, says this, the disciple in whom Jesus loved. He never refers to himself as John, but he states over and over that I'm really intimate with God. He says that over and over. So this is a guy that was upfront, close, and personal. He knew Jesus really well. He was one of the inner circle, if you will. Now, when you think of John, also think like this. John is the second most prolific writer of the New Testament. You're like, what do you mean? The Apostle Paul wrote 14 books, if you include Hebrews. I believe he wrote Hebrews. That's up for grabs. I don't want to argue over it. John, however, wrote 5. The Gospel of John, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, and the book of Revelation. So this guy is somebody who'd put a lot into Christianity and us understanding our faith. You guys get this? So he's a prolific writer. He's not just a passing guy. And think like this. John is also the only disciple that died of natural death. Every other one of them was killed. Okay, but what if I said this to you? John died a natural death, but it wasn't because they didn't try to kill him. John was boiled in oil. And he miraculously survived. I mean, that'd just be awful. I mean, that'd be awful. So John survives, and Domitian, who's the ruler of the Roman Empire at that time, he is against. You guys are like, this feels like a history lesson. Good, that's kind of my goal. I study a lot to start it. Listen, Domitian, who he was after Nero. How many of you guys ever heard of Nero? The first great persecution of the church came out under who? Nero. He was snuffing Christians out like crazy. Domitian shows up AD 81. So we know that at very least, John is more than AD 81 as far as the date is concerned. He's older. He's at least in his 80s, possibly longer. So we don't know how long he was on Patmos. It doesn't say. But he gets exiled because the Roman emperors would think this. If I'm the emperor, I am God. What would they think they are? God. Well, John's running around, John the evangelist, and he's preaching who? Jesus. Jesus is the Son of God. And he went, whoa, 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 wait. He can't be God and me God, because that means we're now competing gods, because that's the world they lived in. So after boiling him in oil, trying to kill him, that didn't work. He exiles him, sends him off to Patmos. Okay, now help me. Just help me. How many of you guys have been through hard times, difficult times? How many of you guys have been boiled in oil? Okay, yeah, you're good. You know, so you got John. John's been through some really hardcore stuff. He's exiled to Patmos. Now, this is just human nature. This is just me. If I'm on Patmos and I'm thinking, man, you boiled me in oil. You didn't kill me. You exiled me. By the way, Patmos, 17 square miles. Watch, let me give you a little perspective. Catalina Island, about a fifth of Catalina Island. That's the island that he's exiled to. He's living with a bunch of prisoners and criminals. He's a slave. He's a bond servant. He's a guy who's only going to work. And he's in his 80s. You think he's going to get off that island? You think he's going to die there? You think this is a miserable existence? Some of you think your existence is miserable. Hello? And you're thinking, man, this is terrible. It's the worst ever. God, I can't believe you're letting me this happen to me. And then God shows up and starts to show John a revelation. Now, John had a choice, didn't he? Help me. Could he have said, heck no, I'm not doing this? How many of you guys have ever felt like, heck no, I'm not doing this? Look, by the way, your pastor's hands up. I'm like, really, Jesus? When are you going to take the crushing off? See, listen, there are times in our journey with Christ where we have to understand this, that we were bought with a price. Now, watch. When you guys go buy something, question for you, do you own it? Now, I'm not talking about your car, because usually the bank owns it, and your house, none of you own your houses. I just know better. We all have mortgages, right? Okay, maybe one or two you do. I don't know. Most of us don't own our homes. Okay, so the bank owns, listen, but when you go to the store and you buy something, let me ask a question. The shoes you're wearing right now, do you own them? They belong to you, don't they? So they were bought with a what?
Price.
A price. They were bought with the price. You know, Jesus bought you with a what?
Price.
What was the price?
Blood.
His death, his blood. So are you owned by him? That's my question for you.
Yes.
What does that mean? That's the difference between submission and surrender, folks.
Yes.
What does that mean? It means that whatever he says to do, you what?
Do.
How are we doing with that?
Great.
Woo-hoo, yeah. Serving Jesus, and I'm loving it.
Amen. Amen.
See, listen, and this is just totally, this is Pastor James, no notes. This is just me talking to the church. I think so much of the community out there is dying for us to live like Jesus owns us. I really believe that. I think so often we miss the opportunities to serve people. I mean, Jesus said it like this. He said, you know, when I was hungry, you fed me. When I was in prison, you came to me. When I was thirsty, you gave me drink. When I was naked, you clothed me. He said, you didn't realize it, but you were actually doing that to me when you did it. And I think so often, and I'm speaking to myself as in this statement, so often we miss the opportunities to be Jesus to other people. And I think the world out there is dying for a real church. Not one that talks about how forgiven we are, but one that actually serves other people because we've been forgiven. Want people that behave like they're owned by God. That's not easy to do, by the way. But that's the call. And when you bow low and surrender and the Holy Spirit strengthens you, you can, in fact, live like that. How do I know that? Because I've had times in my life where I've done it. I've had other times where I didn't do so well. Right now, I'm just kind of like, God, whatever you say, I'll do it. I'm so done fighting with you over dumb things. I'd rather live a fruitful and purposeful life instead of one full of battles. Inward battles, inside battles, mental battles. You know, God, next time you walk by somebody out on the street and God says, stop and talk to him, talk to him. Next time he says, hey, why don't you buy that guy a meal, buy it for him. Next time he says that thing you're going to isn't as important as that person sitting over there, go. And you know that person who's in the hospital, go visit him. You know that guy who you think is so stupid because he went to jail again? Go visit him. That's not easy to do, especially if those people are close to you. But I think that's the difference between a fake church and a real church. Listen, I think John could have done this, seeing visions and going, forget it, man. You boil me in oil, you stick me on a little dot of an island with a bunch of criminals, I'm out. Forget it. See, some of us have said that to God. And I think God is saying, I want you to re-engage. I want you to resurrender. Because watch, you're not living for this life. Help me out, church. You're living for the next one. See, and in fact, one of the greatest difficulties for us in this life is that we put all our eggs in this basket. It's the truth. And then when we're done, we're like, oh man, it didn't work out. I mean, how many times have we been through financial crisis and ruin and broken relationships and heartache? Just stuff happens. Life, broken world. And God is trying to remind us, hey, I bought you. And I want you to live like people that are owned by the King of the universe. I want you to live like somebody who's actually got God deposited inside of you. He lives in you. Lives in you. And he wants you to be outward with that fact that he lives in you. Man, Roman rulers, they just took advantage of people. They brutalized them, beat them. John knew that. Some of us know trouble in this life, but God wants us to live like people who are overcomers. Can I somebody say amen, please? Because that's how he wants us to live. And that happens because we surrender and we sacrifice. And John says this in this. He says, who testified of the word of God, speaking of himself. He said he testified of the word of God, speaking of Jesus, of the testimony of Jesus Christ, to all who saw. This is verse 2. Now verse 3. Blessed is he who reads, and to those who hear the words of the prophecy, and heed the things which are written in it. For the time is near. The revelation of Jesus is what he says. Watch, to reveal, to lay bare, to disclose truth, to instruct. See, he's given this. He's saying, listen, here's the next instruction. I know what you know, but here's the next thing to do. He's saying you need to be aware of the next instruction. And then John says, just, man, this is so powerful. He says, I am a bondservant of Christ. You know what a bondservant is? Somebody who was once a servant was freed. Was John stuck in sin? The answer is what? Yes. Jesus comes and rescues him, so he's therefore now what? Free. And he says, now I'm going to choose to be what? A servant again. He says, I'm a bondservant by choice of Jesus. That's the same thing God is calling all of us to. I want you to choose to serve me. Listen, let me help you guys out. Man, this is like frustrating for me, and it's kind of fun at the same time. Listen, God is not going to make you a robot and make you go do the right things. Somebody help me. What he's going to do is by his spirit, he speaks to you in your inward person. He convicts you of truth and righteousness. He tells you things to lay out of your life because they're destroying you. He tells you things to take up and do because they bless other people and they bless you. And he leads us in this thing, but we've got to do what to that? You've got to listen. And so often we just, oh no, man, I'm just going week to week. I'll show up to church whenever I can get there, get a little dose of Jesus, and that's enough. No, it's not. He says, live it every single day. Live it like your breath comes from me, because it does. I know. He says, live everything like it's associated with me and attributed to me and part of me. He wants us to live like people who get that we belong to him. So one of the purposes of this book is that it's a book of blessing. Like, listen, I know that I'm preaching at you pretty straight, but at the same time, I'm saying this. All of this straightness gets the result of you being blessed. Now, how many of you guys want to be blessed? Raise your hands. If not, you're a liar. Oh, I'm so humble. I want you. I got everything I need. You lie. No. Everybody wants to be what? Blessed. Everybody wants God in the middle of their lives. Listen, blessed just means this, to be made happy. Listen, God wants to enter your world and make you what? Man, I'll tell you what, sometimes it's like, I mean, just this week, I could tell you so many stories of this week. So many stories, like cars blowing up and dumb things, just like, man. And you know, and I just kind of sat back and I just thought, you know, Lord, I didn't really want to spend money on a car. I really didn't. I didn't. I really didn't. And in the middle of that, It was really cool. Like, this is how the Spirit of God spoke. In the middle of it, he said, yeah, but you can pay for it, can't you? And I said, I can, actually. But I didn't want to use the money for that, God. And he said, yeah, but some people don't have it. Amen. He said, some people don't even have a car that they need to fix. he said, why don't you be thankful instead of... Yeah. And I thought, oh, okay. God, thank you. I had to say it out loud. Thank you that I can fix the car, even though I didn't want. I had to throw it in, even though I don't want to spend the money on that. He goes, but listen, there are times in our lives where we have to choose to see Jesus in it. You have to choose that, because otherwise it just feels like, man, what in the world is going on? And that is the situation. See, this is a book of blessing. We belong to God. Listen to me. I know because I interact with people all the time, especially in lines of faith. I know what I'm about to say is true of all of us at some point. We all wonder to what extent we actually belong to God. Now listen, let me explain a little more. Because when we belong to God, how many of you guys remember when you got saved? Like the first time, like it made sense. And you're like, man, God loves me. And he cares about me. And some of you are in the room like, that never happened. It's going to happen for you today, okay? I'm going to give you an opportunity to realize how much God is crazy about you. But the truth is this, I remember it. And I remember feeling like, whoa, I don't have to live the craziness and he'll strengthen me. I just remember it. And there was this like sense of like, oh God, you're so good. But then there are other times that it happened where life is full of difficulty and there's loss. And sometimes there's even abuse, like things are stripped and taken and you're misunderstood. You ever been misunderstood? Yeah. You ever had somebody that you really trusted betray you? Yeah. Okay, you guys aren't telling the truth. I'm just saying, because I know we've had it happen to us. And you come out the other side of it and you're like, God, what happened to that warm, fuzzy love thing? I liked that. How many of you guys like that? I like that. But what about when you got to trust him when it's not very likable? See, that is much of our journey of faith. And this is what God is trying to teach us right now. That my word to you is I'm a God of blessing. Now listen, that's not a self-serving blessing. So you're like, I got a big house, I want a bigger house. I got a good job, I want a better job. Nothing wrong with wanting more, by the way. But I'm not talking about a self-serving. I'm talking about a surrendered releasing. That God puts stuff to your stewardship so that you can be a blessing to others. You're like, but I want a bigger house. Well, I don't know. Maybe you should ask Jesus. Maybe you're not supposed to get a bigger house. Maybe you're not supposed to get a newer car. I'm not saying any of those things are bad. What I'm saying is this, is that often we never invite God into the process. And then we live out of the strife of the lack of blessing. Even though we have stuff, we don't live what? Blessed. Joyful and happy in God. See, this is a book of blessing. And one of the biggest battles is for you to understand that you belong to him. Listen, you've all heard this argument. Once saved, always saved, right? I say a prayer, I'm in Jesus. How many of you guys heard that argument? Come on. Doesn't matter what I do with my life after that. I can live like a train wreck, do all the craziness that the world does. I can live however I want, but I belong to Jesus now. Come on, I know I'm talking to some of you, heard it. And then other people go, ooh, man, you got to run around in fear because everything you do, God's just waiting to get you. You make a mistake, you do this, you steal that thing, and boom, God's going to get you. And then other people would say stuff like this, which I think is more accurate. Remain, abide, stay. John 15, the vine and the branches. Remain in me, abide in me, and I will abide in you. Much safer, secure place to walk with the living God. See, that's what this is about. He's saying, I want you to understand. And John states three things. Like, this is just the introduction. He states three things about walking with God that are vitally important for every one of us. Look at your neighbor and say, pastor's going to say something important right now. Look at him. Say, it's going to be important. It could change your life if you actually do this. Okay, you ready? Here's the first one. Blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of the prophecy. This is verse 3. And they heed the things which are written in it, for the time is near. Okay, so the first thing is this. Read the word. Read the what?
Read.
Blessed is the person who reads. Oh my gosh. But pastor, I don't like to read. Okay, listen. I love y'all a lot. I do. Say, pastor loves me. Man, we got so much technology, you don't even have to crack a book. You can be blind as a bat and still hear it, okay? Look, as I get older, I gotta wear glasses to read now. And if you're blind, I didn't mean any disregard whatsoever. The reality is this, you go on the internet right now, click on Blue Letter Bible, click the little headphone thing, and it will talk to you the Bible. How many of you guys have decent commutes? You gotta drive a little bit to get to work? And you're listening to country music or some other hoopty music or something like that? Put on the Bible, hello? Listen to the word of what?
God.
Listen, it's the same as reading. Let it go into your person. Now, I would encourage you this. Find some time alone with God. Look, cars are great, but people cut you off in cars, and you can be with Jesus and then not, like, that fast. You know what I'm saying? You know, like, that stupid person, it can just end that fast. Find some time alone. But listen, read the words. This is the first step of blessing, to distinguish between, to know accurately, to recognize That's what it means to read, to know accurately. In other words, you discover God when you read. That's what he's telling us. You read this stuff, you are going to discover God. Listen, how many of you guys want to honor God? Make the right decisions. You want a relatively good life. Free yourself, watch, from the consequences of wrong decisions. Can I get a big amen on that? How many of you guys made dumb decisions? You're like, darn, sowing to the wind, reaping the whirlwind. This is a bummer. It cost me money, cost me time. My son, a couple weeks ago, it was kind of funny because, you know, he's trying to break the whole uniform rule at school, right? This is great. You guys will love this. This is Consequences 101. So he decides to not, he wears a polo, but not a uniform polo. And he's going to see if he can get away with it. Have you guys ever tried to see if you could get away? Yeah. So he tries that. Well, he didn't. He didn't get away with it. So they send me an email and they say, hey, by the way, Michael has detention on Wednesday for lunch. And so his reaction to that was, you know, so I don't get to hang out with my friends for a half an hour. Until we jumped into it. And then we said, okay, listen, son, I love you a lot. But hey, you willfully knew that you were making a wrong decision. So now you are grounded for the next 2 weekends. And he said, but I have birthdays to go to. And I said, no, you had birthdays to go to. See, listen, that is an example of you had a freedom and you choose to use it wrongly. I know that that's kind of, you know, humorous because he's a kid. But how often do we do things like that and then we hate the consequences? See, when we study the word, we read the word, it becomes part of who we are and we live differently. When we live differently, we prevent the consequences of all that craziness. Now, does that mean there will be no craziness? No. You know why? Because the world all around you is crazy. Actually, the person that you came with, who's your spouse, might be a little crazy. I'm just saying. No, that was intended to be funny. Don't get all serious. Oh, come on now. You guys are like, what the heck, Pastor? No, in all seriousness, though, we want to live lives that honor God, and that takes the Word of God. This is what the Word of God says about honoring God. Okay, listen. Psalm 119:11. Your Word I've treasured in my heart. Where has he treasured it? In his heart. Watch. That I may not sin against you. You want to not sin? Hide God's Word in your heart, because the Spirit will bring it to remembrance when you want to sin. Watch. Psalm 37, verse 30 and 31. The mouth of the righteous, it utters wisdom, and his tongue speaks justice. The law of his God is in his heart. Where is it? In his heart. His steps do not slip. How many of you guys want your steps not to slip? Amen. Hide his word in your heart. See, that comes from reading and knowing the word of God. See, we have to learn how to understand God and accurately know him. Now listen to me. Let me help you all out. Your heart will mess with you. Listen, your heart will mess with you. But this is what I feel is the right thing. How many of you have felt like it was the right thing and it was the wrong thing? Come on. You older people, you can raise your hands and feet because you've had more chances. The truth is this. We feel like it's the right thing, but in fact, it is the what? How do you know the difference? You read the Word of God. That's how you know. It will instruct you in life. I love what one guy said. It's actually Greg Laurie, pretty popular guy. I don't know if it was his or if he got it from somebody else, but Bible, B-I-B-L-E, basic instruction before leaving earth. It teaches you how to do life. Somebody say amen. Amen. See, listen, don't rest in your heart because your heart will jack with you. It'll tell you things are okay that are not. Unless your heart is surrendered to God, amen. Then he'll mingle in there and he'll teach you the right stuff to do. And you can walk with him. The second thing John says, he says to hear the word of God. That means to comprehend and understand. You know that sometimes hearing and listening are vastly different things. So the other day I was in the house and I holler upstairs. We'll use Michael. It could be any of my kids because it's happened with all of them. And I holler, hey, Michael. We'll pick on Michael today. It's pick on Michael day. Okay, just, I adore my son. Hey, Michael. Nothing. No answer. Michael, I'm thinking, I know he's up there. I mean, the house is big, but it ain't that big. And well, my voice isn't working great, but I know he can hear me. A few seconds later, I get a text. What do you want? I'm like, tell me you're kidding. Like, I had to repent for the thoughts that went through my mind about what I wanted from that text. See, communication is way different, isn't it? Way different. The way that we hear and listen is different today. Listen, we have to understand something, that the beingness of people is different today than it was 20, 30, 50. Listen, I remember, I remember dialing the phone that was attached to the wall, attached to a headset. And I remember we got the long headset, so that if I wanted to talk to somebody and I didn't want my parents here, I'd go outside the back door and close it. It was attached to the wall. Now, holy cow, your computer's in your pocket. Such a different world. And we're called to hear and to comprehend what God is asking us to do. And he says that when you do that, when you seek to comprehend and understand, he says, I'll bless you for that. Amen. Amen. Well, man, listen, I'll tell you what. Oh, man, I can't disclose the details other than to say this. I've wanted to do so many times the opposite of what I should do in the last 6 months. Can't even tell you. And you know, I'd be like, my wife and I'd be talking, you know what I'm talking, you guys know what I'm talking about, right? That never happens to any of you, right? Just your pastor zings sometimes, you know? And then I would go and I would sit with God and I'd say, God, I need you to speak to me from your word because, man, what I want to do, I don't think is you. Don't think it's you. I think I have the right to do it. I think I could do it and be okay. I think other people would side with me if I argued to do it. And God, and then I'd read his word and he'd tell me to do the opposite. I'm like, I want to get him. And he says, pray for him. I want to pray for him. I want you to get him. He'd say, pray for him. I want you to pray for him. It'll free your heart. It'll free theirs too. I want you to pray for him. And I've watched myself do things that were completely the opposite of what I wanted to do because I was listening. Because I was trying to allow God to direct the decisions I make, not my feelings, my heart, not my wishes, my whims. See, listen, hearing implies understanding and comprehension, that I'm going to hear what God says, I'm going to understand, I'm going to comprehend. And comprehension always takes on this, our will. Our will has to engage with the will of God. By the way, listen to me, church, that is your choice. God is not, like I told you, not going to feel you like you're a robot and go do you know Jesus? It's not like that. He says, I want you to go and do that. I want you to serve. I want you to bless. I want you to give. I want you to do this thing. And you're like, no. Listen, I was really proud. A couple weeks ago, we did the ministry fair. A bunch of you guys signed up to serve. Proud of you. You know why I'm proud of you? Because it makes me understand this, that I understand that God calls me to give my life away. See, listen, you don't become blessed until you become a blessing to other people. God starts by filling you up where you get all like, whoo, this is great, he loves me. And then he says, now go love other people. You're like, oh. And then you do it and you're like, wow, this is really cool. I never thought that watching some little kid in the nursery would be such a blessing. I never thought that helping in the parking lot so no little kid gets run over would be such a big deal. And a bunch of you signed up. Way to go. That's when you hear and you respond because you know that God has given something to you. And he asks you to give it back away. The last thing he said is you gotta heed the word of God. So listen, attend carefully to take care of it. In other words, you gotta heed. Watch, listen. You've got to do something about what God is telling you. You got to do something about it. You're like, I got to do something about it? Who are you to tell me I got to do something? I'm nobody but the preacher who's preaching the word of God who tells you that you got to what? Do something about it. All of us have to respond to the inclination of God. There's not any one of us that gets outside of that. He says, you've got to heed it. You've got to heed the word of God. Listen to me. I love you all. We're all growing. Look at your neighbor say, we're growing. We're growing. Some of you are growing really fast. Some of you are like oak trees, just a leaf a year. You're barely growing, but you're growing. The truth is this. Everybody is what? Everybody grows. And all of you are at different levels of understanding. All of you are at different levels of surrender and submit. I get it. Just don't stop what? Growing. You got to keep growing. See, that comes because you heed. We grow in understanding, knowledge. We grow in behavior. Man, listen, do you know that the demonstration of you growing as a Christian is that you become a doer? I'll say that again. The demonstration of you growing as a Christian means that you become a doer, somebody who does things in the name of Jesus. Somebody say amen. What I just said to you is as true as it gets. Watch, I'm going to prove it to you. This is what James says in chapter 1. Not James, your pastor. James, the Bible. Okay, James says, chapter 1, verse 22. He says, prove yourselves to be doers of the word. What are you going to be? Doers of the word. And not only hearers who delude themselves. I'm fine with Jesus. I don't got to do nothing. Yes, you do. Listen, this is the scriptures, you guys. This isn't Pastor James's opinion. This is James, the brother of Jesus, writing this. I think he's fairly acquainted with the man. Would you agree? He's saying, don't be just people who listen. Be people who do. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man who looks at himself in the mirror and then walks away and forgets what he looks like. Listen, by the looks of a few of you, you didn't look in the mirror this morning. No, I'm playing. I just got some hair. No, I'm playing. All seriousness, though, it's like you forget who you are. Listen, I want to encourage you so much. I'm going to start to wrap this up right now. I want to encourage you not to forget who you are. Because a lot of times this is what we do. We consider our life our own instead of belonging to him. And look, I already understand. Everybody's at different levels of growth. I get that. Nowhere in the scripture does God give us permission to live a lifestyle of sin. Are we all on the same page? So if you're living in sin, I love you to pieces. Stop it. You're only hurting yourself. Breaks God's heart, hurts your life. Simple. Not judging you, not condemning you. It doesn't even go through me like that. What it goes through me as is all the stupid things I've done that I wish all of you wouldn't do because all they do is hurt you. Okay, just so we understand we're all on the same level. We're all growing, but there's never a permission in God to live a lifestyle of sin. We all good? Amen. Yes, no, yes, we're good? So you're like, forget you, Pastor, just end. No, come on, stay with me just a few more minutes. Sometimes we don't ever look in the mirror long enough to say, God, where am I really at? How am I really doing? Like, am I about to walk out of the house with bedhead? How many of you guys ever left the house and like you're in a hurry and you get out of the shower and you put a little deodorant, spray or two of cologne. You run out of the house and then you get in the car and you look. You're like, I didn't put any gel in my hair. And you're and look, if you're in my world, that's like fuzzball. I look like a cotton ball if there's no gel in it. I got up the other morning, my wife looked and go, whoa, did you take a shower and go to bed? I'm like, yeah, it's like fuzzy. You ever gone out of the house looking like that? Watch, my sister, she went out of the house one time. She got dressed in the dark. She got all the way to work, and she had two different shoes on. It's dark. One was brown. One was black. Same style, different shoes. See, sometimes we don't look to actually assess, like, where are we really at with God? And God says this, though, but when you do that, there's a blessing in it. There's a blessing. How many of you guys ever served God, and when you walked away, you just thought, I just honored the King. I just honored the kid. That felt right. Your inward person is like, yeah, because that's what God wants us to feel. He wants us to feel the blessing of walking with him. He wants us to feel the blessing of exhibiting him, letting him, if you will, manifest out of ourselves his goodness, his life, his light. He wants us to live like that. He wants to bless us. And it says, don't be like the person who looks in the mirror. You forget what you look like. But one who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and the person who abides in it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man will be blessed in what he does. He'll be what? Blessed in what he does. See, blessing comes through reading, hearing, and heeding the word of God, what God says to do. See, the book of Revelation, that is the message of the book. There's all this stuff that God is putting in front of us. It is the culmination of the scriptures. It's God saying, listen, I know that this life's got a bunch of junk in it, but I'm coming back. And I will establish my kingdom, and you do win. Listen, we might go home to the Lord before he comes back. I mean, I kind of hope I'm here for it. I want to see the skies open and the trump of God. I want to see Jesus descending in the cloud. I want to see that. I want to see him riding up with King of Kings and Lord of Lords on a white stallion. I want to see that. Some of you are like, man, that's all sci-fi. No, listen, Hollywood ruined the Bible. It stole from it and then tried to make it better. The reality is this. You know why all of the movies about Jesus don't go as big as some of the crazy ones? Because we already know the end of the story. He's going to come. He's going to establish a kingdom. And he's going to rule and reign forever. Somebody say forever. Forever. We don't even understand forever, but that's what God says. I'm going to reign forever, and you will be with me forever. Whew, I'll tell you what, think about this. No sin, no suffering, no sickness, no striving, good, healthy relationships. You'll look at people and you won't be jealous and envious of them. You'll be blessed that God has blessed them. I think that's glorious. Like sometimes people go, I'm going to get to heaven. I'm going to float around like an angel and sing hallelujah or kumbaya. No, you're not. You're going to get to heaven and heaven will be just as productive as earth, but without sin. That's beautiful to me because, dang, I work hard in this life and it's hard still. I'm like, God, I want to work hard and I want to see people blessed because of it. And I know that that happens here, but I want to see it without all the striving, without all the difficulty, without all the humanness and sin in it. I mean, see, to me, that is like, I look forward to that. I think, man, that is good stuff. That's good stuff. See, look, in the beginning, I talked about John. And I talked about what some of the things he had gone through. And I want you to think, I'm going to wrap up. Gabe, why don't you come up? I'm going to bring this to a close. And I just want some of you to consider some things. I don't know that this is for everybody in the room, the way I'm going to close right now. I think it's for many of you, though. I do. Just in prayer, I was trying to I just take you into the world of a pastor for a second, okay, just for a second. Every week I study and I prepare to study and I want to bring the word of God to you and I want to teach you the Bible and hopefully make you laugh a little bit, sometimes laugh at yourself a little bit. But at the end of the day, this is what I always ask God, what do you want to say to them? Because I know this, you guys can get on the radio and listen to somebody else teach Revelation chapter 1. You listen to 100 people do it. You can go on the internet, there's plenty of people teaching the Bible. I get that. But God, what are you saying to the group of people that are going to show up in this room this morning? What do you want to speak to them? How do you want to encourage their hearts to not forget about your goodness and your love for them? What do you want to say to them? And so what I'm going to do right now is around that. And I think it's going to minister to some of you and hopefully encourage some of you in Christ. See, John is really a crazy character. He was with Jesus. He walked with him 3 years in his earthly ministry. When Jesus is on the cross, he looks at John and he says, behold your mother. John cared for Jesus's mom after Jesus died. I mean, there's nuances about John that are really quite significant, intimate. Like, let me put it this way. If I said to any of you, take care of my mommy because I'm about to die, that means you're what? You're tight with me. I wouldn't entrust that to just anybody. That would be somebody that's close, intimate. See, that's John. And John, man, he's the disciple whom Jesus loved. He wrote 5 of the books of the Bible. He was a faithful leader. Even when things went against him, he stayed faithful. He's on Patmos for no reason other than he's a Christian. No other reason. He didn't do anything. Didn't threaten anybody. He just lived for Jesus and ended up just totally criticized and dogged for it. Boiled in oil. I have nothing to say. I have nothing to say. That I can't even imagine being through something like that. Domitian sends him to Patmos, exiles him. He's going to die on Patmos. For all intents, there's no way he's going to get off, except for if God lets Domitian die before John does and he ends up off of Patmos. But otherwise, he's going to die there, this little rocky, criminal-filled island. Now, if I told that to any of you guys, you're going to live on this little desolate thing, you're going to die there for being faithful to Jesus, all of you would be like, peace out. I'm gone. I'm not doing this. But John lives that existence. And so I've shared with you guys a lot recently, just some of the demand struggles, things that I've had to battle to just walk through. I wouldn't say to keep my faith. It's not like I ever in the process of walking with God like I want to walk away from him. I don't feel that. I've been walking with Jesus a long time. And I don't have any desire to be anywhere other than with him. You guys all with me? Nowhere else I want to be. But there have been a number of times in this where I've just sat back and gone, God, I don't get you. Like, it's just issue after issue, thing after thing. And then if I were candid with you, the thing with my voice, like, you guys might think, oh, it's just a little surgery, you're recovering. Listen, if you're a preacher, if I can't speak again, I'm unemployed. I mean, let's just talk for the real. If I can't speak, what do I do? What do I do? I've got to take care of my family. What am I going to do? You know, those are real things that rumble through my heart that, you know, I'm being really transparent with you right now. And And just wrestling that around and, you know, just honestly sitting with the Lord and thinking, man, you called me to this thing, serving people and loving people. And, you know, people can be hard sometimes. I love you all, but you guys can be hard sometimes. Look, I get it. I can be hard back. So I'm not just, you know, I get it. People are people, right? Now, why don't you guys take the lights down? I feel like there's too many people staring at me for how transparent I'm being. I don't want you to see if I cry, if I shed a tear. You got to know, I'm just saying. You know, and the truth is, you just kind of go through this, and there's times where you're like, you know, God, this doesn't make what? It doesn't make sense. I didn't really sign up for this much difficulty or this much frustration. And when I was studying through just John and his life, it was just like so clear. The Lord said, imagine if you were John, James. I thought, wow, yeah, well, that'd be pretty cool. I get to watch Jesus do all the miracles. I think that'd be sweet. Turning the water to wine, the healings, that'd be awesome. He said, yeah, what about the boiling oil part? What about the Patmos part? What about the dying in exile part? And I thought, oh, that'd be lame. I don't think I would want to sign up for that. What if I asked you to write the last testament of my scriptures? What if I asked you to do that in those circumstances? How would you respond? And I thought, well, probably not very well, because I don't know that I'm doing all that great at the moment. You know, just candidly, I mean, I'm hanging in there with God, but there's times I've, you know, kicked and screamed. Anybody else kicking and screaming? Okay, so you guys are with me. So in the midst of all this, I'm just kind of processing, and out of the blue, my sister sends me a message. I'm going to read it to you so that you guys know I'm not a techie guy. I don't ever use my phone up front. But for this one, it's worth you guys hearing it. And many of you, the story of my family is long. I'm a baby of 12 kids, and today all of us are saved. And it's been years, a lot of years. Everything from the hippie movement and drugs and all of the stuff that goes crazy and, you know, the 60s, 70s, and then the 80s with me being a little pot-smoking drug dealer and God saving me. Like, I've seen a lot of different things, and my sister and I were really close. We're still close, but we were really close in high school, and we got in trouble together all the time. I mean, we were supplying one another stuff, and where is the party, and what are we doing, and how are we hiding it from Mom and Dad? We did all the stupid stuff together. And she got saved just before me, maybe the year before. And I remember she was really on fire. She was always inviting me to Calvary Chapel to hear about Jesus. And I remember I'd go, and I pretty much went because there was cute girls. Just being honest, I wasn't all that interested, but I would go because she asked. And then there came that day where I actually surrendered to God, which my sister was not directly a part of. And I remember feeling loved and understood and forgiven by God. And then I remember that sense that God had called me, and that the, you know, just like, I don't even know what that means exactly, because I was quite young as a Christian. You know, I got saved in 88. This is like 1990. And my sister sent this to me the other day. So that kind of frames up the story. And she said this. She said, good morning, bro. How you feeling? I hope you're able to eat regular again. This morning while I was doing my devotions, I felt really strong. I'm not going to be able to do this without being emotional. I felt really strong by the Lord to share with you the message below. I need to add to it that my sister is struggling with multiple sclerosis, and it's recently diagnosed. She's having an elevator installed in her house because she can't walk her stairs anymore. So this is somebody who's in the middle of life change as well. She said, this morning while doing my devotions, I felt strong by the Lord to share this with you. I meant to do it earlier, but I had a guy coming to measure my stairs. They're going to put in a lift so that we don't have to move. I was impressed this morning also to remind you of the scripture I sent you before you were a pastor. You guys all know it. I preach from it often, Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord. They're plans to prosper you and not to harm you, to bring you to a glorious end. I know you know it by heart. Take a minute and reread it. I love you, James. If I shared more, I'd only cry. There are seasons in our life where trouble comes and you're just trying to hang on by a thread. And I mean, if I were honest, I think the last season for me, maybe because of the multiple issues that have hit, have been maybe one of the hardest seasons of my life, if I were just candid. And what I've seen over and over is God providing the strength when I didn't feel like I had anymore. Providing the will. You guys know that will sometimes is really hard when things are hard. Like just doing what you need to do, getting it done. Am I talking to anybody? And so out of the clear blue, in the middle of all this, like just turmoil and stuff and just things where you're like, God, I don't get it. My sister out of the clear blue, she hasn't texted me in a couple months. Says, hey, I wanted to remind you of the scripture that God gave. I have this scripture. She wrote it for me in a plaque. I've had it for 7 years now. I still have it. You know why? Because just like John said, when he said the testimonies of Jesus, sometimes faith is remembered in testimonies, but it's lived in future hope. I want to say that again. Faith is lived in testimonies, recognized in testimonies, but it's lived in future hope. I love some of you. Some of you are looking backwards to live in the future, and it doesn't work. The way that Jesus said it was this: no man who puts his hand to the plow and looks backwards is fit for the what? Kingdom. Many of you are trying to look backwards at what was instead of looking forward to what's coming. And I want to remind you something, because so often we define our future based on our present. And I don't know what you're going through. If it's good, praise God. If it's not good, remember this, that there is a future hope. There is a future hope that you, listen, you win. The story of the book is that you what?
Win.
You win. You get victory. Listen to me. We're going to talk about the pit and the pit that Satan gets thrown into, because we what?
Win.
We win. Some of you are like, oh, we win, man. Pastor, is so hard. I just try to get through life. I just need to do my 2 hours at church this morning, and then hopefully I'll make it to next Sunday. No. I want you to live in victory. I want you to leave today, and I want you to live in courage that whatever you're going to go walk into, and I know some of it is lame and it's with people and they're hurting you, I want you to walk out there knowing that you win. And I don't mean you win the battle against them. I mean you're victorious in Christ. Somebody please say amen.
Amen.
See, listen, some of you need to be reminded that God is good. He's not against you.
Yes.
He never has been against you. That is the story of the cross. When everything was against you, Jesus went in your place so that it wouldn't be against you anymore.
Yes.
Listen, Paul said it this way: in this life you will suffer tribulation. That's what Jesus said. Paul said these light and momentary afflictions. I don't know, they don't feel light and momentary, Pastor. I know, but they are. They are. I want you to look back at your life. They are. There are things that have happened in your life that you thought were catastrophic, and you made it. You made it. You made it. You're here today because you what? You made it. I want you to walk out of the room remembering that you win. You're gonna what? You're going to win. You're going to make it. You're going to be okay. And listen, I know you're going to go, man, this is the worst thing you could say. Even if you die, say, I don't want to die yet, Pastor. I don't want you to die either. But even if you die, you win. I'm sorry, but to me, that's like, sweet, let's go. Let's go serve people, love them, man, because if this is the best hell's got to give, not that I want hell attacking me, but this is the best, I want Jesus. I want Jesus. When it's all said and done, I want to live as a guy who lived his life touching other people's lives. See, John said this: if you want a revelation of Jesus, you got to look at in faith toward the things that God is doing. Some of you need to put on your faith meter again. You need to remember that whatever you're experiencing right now is not the end. You need to remember that even though there's affliction right now, it's not over. You need to remember that if you don't have money now, that's okay. If you don't have health now, God is capable. If you don't have what you need, God is still with you. And even if it gets terrible, it gets worse, God is still with you. He's still with you. And some of you have forgotten that. How do I know? Because I did. I did. I just kept accusing God, like, why are you letting this happen? I don't get it. I mean, holy cow, I've been faithful. I don't know what I've done to deserve this. I know some of you feel that. I know you do. You know why? Because you're just like me. You're human. You get up in the morning, you put your pants on, you put your skirts on. If you're a lady, you know, you do life. You just try to get through, and you think to yourself, I didn't sign up to get beat up all the time. And you know what Jesus is saying? You're right. You didn't sign up for that. But you're not living in faith. You forgot. And God wants to remind you this morning. That's it. Look, I think I could have done what I just did and tanked all the rest of the message because I think God wants to encourage hearts to remember to live in faith. That's what I think he's doing this morning. So listen, I want to ask you to bow your heads. I want to ask you to bow your heads and listen. Don't head for the door. Listen, I want to be really clear. There are times in church life where we're together as a corporate body where the Spirit of God is present and he's trying to take somebody out of a stuck spot and put them into a spot where they're no longer stuck. He's trying to lead them into freedom. And the worst thing we can do is do anything that interrupts that. Listen, if you're sitting here this morning, you'd say, man, I need a revelation of Jesus again. I need a revelation of Jesus. I know he loved me then. I need to know he loves me now. I need to see him. If that's you, I want you to boldly lift your hand. I need Jesus to show himself to me again. I need him to show me. I need him to show me in my family. I need him to show me in my health. I need him to show me in my finances, in my friendships, in my spiritual life. I need him to reveal himself to me again. That's you, lift your hand. Yeah. Oh my God, I pray to you. Pray to you, God, that starting in this moment, that this would represent a turning point. God, a demonstration of your presence in each life. God, we ask, God, that circumstances would change. We do. We ask for provision. We ask for relationships. We ask for health. God, we ask for a spiritual release and encounter with you, but more than all of the circumstances, God, we ask for your presence. God, that they would know beyond the shadow of a doubt that you are with them. Oh, God, and I pray for peace. Peace in the turmoil of the mind, the spinning that happens, the multiple thoughts, God, that we would stop and just bow our hearts and say, Jesus, I need your help. I need you to make sense of the confusion because your word says that you're not an author of confusion, but the God of peace. More than anything, God, I need you with me. You declared you would never leave me or forsake me. I need you with me. You know, this is what I feel led to do right now. I am going to invite the ministry team forward, and many of you raised your hands. We're going to sing a song, and I want you to head to the front and let these people pray with you. There's such a breaking off of bondage and stronghold when we just surrender, not submit, but surrender and say, Jesus, I get it. You minister life through people, and I need freedom. I want to walk out the door and have everything you intend me to have today. So if you're on the ministry team, make your way forward. The rest of you, I'd like to ask you to stand, and I'd like you to sing this song together with us. And during the song, if you raised your hand, I don't want you to hesitate. Just come on up. Let them pray for you. Let them encourage you. Let them be somebody who can be an instrument of God in your life. Let's worship together.
Perfect in all of your ways. Perfect in all.
faith is the evidence of things hoped for and the certainty of things not seen. I want to encourage you as you go today to think this, that there is a future hope that God has from the present moment that you're in that He wants you to live in. So God, we commit ourselves to you once again, thankful for your saving grace, and thank you that you can sustain us in all things. And Lord, I declare over us as we get ready to go what it says in the book of Jude. Now to him who is able to keep us from stumbling, to present us before himself without spot or wrinkle or blemish, to the only wise God, be honor, dominion, and power both now and forevermore. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hey, if you still need prayer, you're welcome to hang out and sneak forward and get prayer. The team will remain praying. Otherwise, I love you guys. God bless you. Have an amazing Sunday.